All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 for the message tonight. In the last few weeks, I have had two emails that came in, one from a church member, another one from a young preacher who asked a question about this chapter, and basically both emails wanted me to give them my understanding of death. What does the Bible say about death? And so I remembered back in 2001 that I took a Wednesday night and I taught this chapter, sort of an overview of this chapter. And so I went and I actually found the notes, which is just absolutely amazing, because I have thousands of sermons. They're just books. I got notebooks full of them. On I can't even stuff them all in the cabinet where I keep my sermons. I have them stuck here and stuck there and everywhere. And it was actually in the first book that I went to look for. So I kind of knew this week that I was supposed to talk about and preach about this subject tonight. I'm not going to preach you the sermon that I did back 20 years ago. I'm not going to preach the sermon to you, but I am going to discuss some of the things that we covered back then, and then add some new stuff to it that I trust will help us in understanding this matter of death. You know, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, that's inclusive of saved and unsaved. It's appointed unto man once to die. I don't understand sometimes God's calculations on all this. I sometimes get a little confused. I see someone who is doing a great work for the Lord, someone that God has gifted and blessed in a great way, and they get taken from here and taken on to heaven, and I just sometimes do not understand what the Lord is doing. But that is not my place. It's not your place. We cannot question whether God knows what He's doing or not. He's God, and of course He knows what He's doing. Right now, we see, as the Apostle Paul said, right now we see through a glass darkly. All right, we see through a glass. If you have a window and it has the shade covering on it, you can go up there and look through that glass, and you might see images on the other side, but you cannot make out maybe who it is. You cannot see clearly what someone is doing, and that's how we are today. That's how we exist today. We are looking through a glass, and that glass is dark. But the day is coming when all darkness is going to be removed. All the scales will be removed from our eyes, and we shall see clearly. All right, now, what we have in this 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians is an explanation of the gospel and an explanation of the resurrection that is the foundation for that gospel. All right, if there is no resurrection, then we've all got a problem. Okay, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus did not resurrect from the grave. And if Jesus did not resurrect from the grave, that means that somewhere over in Israel, the body of our Lord has went back to the earth and is no more if there is no resurrection. Now, I just happen to believe with all my heart that there is, that he was resurrected. And I believe that we are going to be resurrected. Now, if you look at verse 4, chapter 15 in verse 4, you will see that, let's get 3 and 4. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." All right, so very clearly, the Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus was resurrected. And now he talks about all the ramifications of this resurrection. If you look at verse 14, Paul makes this statement, "If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is also vain." Now, the word vain means empty. There's nothing to it. It would just be talk. There would be nothing there if Jesus is not risen from the dead. But he is risen from the dead, and therefore our salvation is settled. It is settled in the fact that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, died on that cross, was buried. That's what you do when folks die. You bury them, and they buried him, and then on the third day, he came out of that grave. Now, look at verse 19. He makes another application to this resurrection. And in verse 19, he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So right here, the Apostle Paul makes another application to the resurrection and says that if our hope is only for now, if it's only for while we are alive on this planet, if that's all that our hope in Christ gives us and benefits us, well, we're of all men most miserable. Why? Well, because, don't forget, it is appointed unto man once to die. And so when a person dies, they then go out into eternity. And if you have not made preparation for eternity, oh, do you have a problem? And you can't change once you get over on the other side and see what is in store for you. You can't get over there and then say, "Whoops, Lord, I changed my mind. I want to go to heaven now." No, it doesn't work that way. You have got to make those decisions now. So your hope is in Christ for today, but it is also in Christ for tomorrow. Amen. All right? I have a home that's awaiting me in heaven. Amen. Man, I'm excited about that. Amen. And you should be as well. All right, so he just continues on. Now, look down, please, if you will. Go down to verse 51. And I want to read a few verses here. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Well, what is that mystery, Paul? Well, we shall not all sleep. Now, the word sleep means die. We shall not all die. The Greek word there is the word cemeteros. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Cemetery, yes. We shall not all die, but, look at it, but we shall all be changed. Amen. All right, now, you got to get changed to go to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you change clothes. That means you change bodies. Now, when someone passes here and now, we take the body and we bury that body. All right, now, it's not the body that goes to heaven when you die. The soul is what goes to heaven when we die. And it is the soul of man that is the real you. It's who you are. Your body is nothing more than the tabernacle in which your soul lives. But the soul is the real you. And when you get saved, God does not save your body. We know that because we all still get old and we all eventually die. So God does not save our bodies. God saves our souls. Now, what did God say? He said that he created man in his own image. In his own image. Now, what do we know about God? We know that he is a lot of things, but one thing we know, we're created in his image, and he is Father, he is Son, and he is Spirit. And these three are what? One. Now, using what we've learned about numbers, three is the number of completion in the Bible. God is three, yet one. He's complete. All right? He made us in his image. What that's saying to us is that God made us with three parts to our makeup, but yet we are one person. I am body. That's what you're looking at right now. You are looking at my body. But you are listening to the second part of me, which is my soul. You're looking at my body. You're listening to my soul. And then there is a third part of us, and that is our spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, when you're not saved, your spirit and your soul are dead. In Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. All right? So we are going to have to be changed. Why? Because these bodies of ours, they're not equipped to go to heaven. And so when you die, it is your soul that goes to heaven. And when your soul is in heaven, the body remains here. Okay, everybody got that? Man, there's so many people that get confused on all this, and probably because of all the cults and false teaching that is in our world today. All right, so we shall all be changed. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, look at verse 52. It's going to happen in a moment. As a matter of fact, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now, General Electric did a test years ago, and they said that the twinkling of an eye is 1/100th of a second. What's the twinkling of your eye? That is the moment when light hits your eye and it sparkles. That's the twinkling of an eye. And we all know how quick that is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump or trumpet, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, now, who is going to be raised incorruptible? Those who have died and have been buried. But then Paul says, we, and what he was talking about was those alive, those living at the time. Paul was living, and his readers were living. And so he said, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, those of us that are alive on this earth, we are going to be changed. Why? Because these bodies, they're not equipped for heaven. They have a curse upon them, the curse of sin. All right, look at the next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And I think we all understand that. Mortal means dying, and we must become immortal. These bodies die. But when the Lord comes back, we're getting new bodies. And they are never going to die. So that's what he's talking about there. Verse 54. Look at it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? Now remember, this is written to Christians.
Amen.
For a Christian, where is the sting of death? And he goes on to say, O grave, where is thy victory? And now here's the explanation. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Now what he means by that is, when you read the law, you understand what sin is. You understand God's definition of sin. What is it? It's a transgression of the law. Okay? And so he says the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right, so let's pray. And then I want us to look at three things that Paul mentions here real quickly. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessing. I pray you'll help us to have attentive minds and hearts, and help us to listen intently and learn something tonight. And I pray that you will just encourage us in our faith, realizing and help us to realize that our faith has the answers. The Bible has the answers. And I pray you'll help us to understand those things tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want us to look at Paul's assessment here, and I think a very weak word for me to say it that way, but I want us to look at Paul's, let's call it an understanding. Let's look at Paul's understanding of just what death does in us. Let's take these verses and think about what death does to us. The first thing I want you to see is down in verse 55, where he says, O death, where is thy sting. And then he answers that in verse 56 by saying, the sting of death is sin. Now, I want us to take a moment now and look at the sting of death. I think all of us understands the sting that comes when death comes to our family, to our home, to our church. We understand that there is a sting of death. Now, who among us has not been stung by a bee? Well, we all have. And there are folks who have various and sundry reactions to that. I remember when I was about 7, we were cutting actually it was a hillside, and it had grown up and it got away from us, and the weeds had just about taken it over. And my dad said, we're going to cut that down. Now, so we were out there and all day on a Saturday, and we were trying to trim up and clean up that hillside. And it went all the way up to the tree line. That was where our property went. And they were getting ready to sell that house. And so my dad said, we need to clean all this up, make it nice. So somebody driving by can look and see it and say, oh, wow, look at all that property that's with this house. And so we started cleaning it up. So my grandfather handed me a hand sickle, and he pointed and said, go for it. And so I went over and I started cutting that mess with that hand sickle. Well, I went at it for, I don't know, maybe a half an hour, and I had a good little place cut down. And somebody said something to me, and I turned around and answered, and then I went into it again, and when I did, I saw this hive. And I sliced it right in half. And man, they come out of there mad. And they swarmed me. And I went down to the ground, and my grandfather came over with a jacket or something. I don't remember now what it was, but I was a little busy. And so he came over and was shooing the bees away from me. And they stung him, and they stung me. I don't know how many times I got stung by those bees. But it didn't have hardly any reaction other than the stinging, you know? But there are some, now listen, if that had happened to my little brother, I don't think he'd have made it. I don't think he would have made it. He was a little puny when he was little. And I'm just not sure he would have made it. And people have different reactions. A preacher friend of mine, his grandson was using a weed eater, and he hit a nest, and they came and swarmed him, and it killed him. 16-year-old boy, and he went into shock and never came out. He died as a result. And so we all know that the sting of a bee can produce different reactions. Some, there's little reaction. Others, there's a violent reaction. And surely no one likes to be stung by anything. And what Paul is doing here is he's painting us a picture. He's trying to get us to see just how bad death is and just how bad sin is by painting us a picture of someone being stung. And so he says, O death, where is thy sting? And then he says, the sting of death is sin. You see, Paul basically tells us that death is a terrible dragon that comes upon all men. It is eventually going to sting each and every one of us. We're all eventually going to be stung by this monster. He does not give us any hope of going from life into eternal life without having to go through this stinging monster. It's going to get us all unless Jesus comes back. And folks, the truth is, there is no crossing from this world into the next world without first facing the sting of death. So we've all got to go down that road. Now, having then told us that there is no hope for our escape, he braces up our nerve for combat. He braces us for the battle. But he stops short of telling us that we will be able to escape or to stop the monster of death. We cannot. We cannot. All right? And since we cannot slay it, there is a one thing that can be done. And that one thing is that we face our enemy, and once the stinger is applied, we can swiftly get that stinger out. Now, what is the sting? Well, Paul says the sting of death is sin. So let us take care of the sin problem. And although death is still going to be there and we still have to face it, we do not need to dread death. We don't need to fear death. Listen, if there is one thing that I would like to accomplish with the Church of the Open Door, I would like to so teach and preach to you the Word of God so that you do not fear death. I mean that. I don't want any of the people in our church to fear death. There's nothing to fear. You say, well, what about the sting? Well, the sting of death is sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, that simply means, folks, death was not in God's original plan for mankind. It came as a result of sin. And that's what that means. It means the sting of death is sin. All right? It wasn't in God's plan. Now, stop and think about this for just a moment. We could be more content to die if we did not know that death was a punishment. But it is. All right? Wasn't in the original plan. It has come about as a result of sin. So, I suppose, if we had never sinned, there would have been some means for us to go, some way for us to go from this world to heaven if we had not sinned. All right? Would it have been like Elijah in a whirlwind where he was just taken up into heaven? Would it have been like Enoch, you know, where he was walking with God and then he was not because God took him? Don't you feel sorry for Mrs. Enoch? I mean, she just walked around scratching her head the rest of her life wondering, what happened to my husband? I bet she had all kinds of people out looking for him. Bless her heart. I sure hope the Lord somehow or another told her what had happened. But anyway, I digress. Those are just weird things I think of. Lay in bed at night, wonder what happened to Mrs. Enoch, you know? And then I'm up for 2 hours thinking about it. I mean, folks, listen. I don't know how we would be taken up if sin had not come into the picture. So if man had not sinned to die, if we could call it death, to die, to depart, let me say it this way, to depart from this body and to go on to be with the Lord in heaven, well, that would have been no disgrace at all, would it? Of course not. But instead, what we have is sin as an enemy, and we fight it tooth and nail. We do everything we can to delay it. We know it's coming, but we do everything we can to fight against it. And we need to understand that since sin has entered into the stream of humanity, death is punishment. It is punishment for sin. You remember God told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said to through Paul, the wages of sin is death. The apostle Paul said, in Adam all die. Why? All have sinned. All right? So the sting of death comes when the sin is not forgiven. Folks, I have stood beside too many caskets in my years of pastoring. I've stood by the casket just way too many times, and I have watched as a family look down into the face of a loved one, and they've stood there looking down and wondering. I've seen the wonder on their faces. I have seen the looks, and I have had them look over at me and as if to say, is there any hope that you can give us? Is there anything that you have to say that might calm our fears? But if you're not saved, no. And that hurts. One man I remember when we lived at Dixie, it was a wicked man, cursed God, cursed the church, cursed the people in the church, cursed me one time when I tried to win him to the Lord. I mean, this guy was just as wicked as he could be. And he scorned every attempt that we made to win him to the Lord. And when he died, that family felt a sting that like they had never felt before. And I remember that family, I can see them right now in my mind's eye, standing at that casket with the tears streaming down their face, and saying that they should have done more. We just should have done more. They knew he was as lost as he could be. And all the flowers that were around and all the pats on the back that was given to them by the community, all of the efforts that the funeral home made, none of it worked a bit. None of it helped a bit. Why? Because they knew. They knew. They knew. And so they just had to deal with that sting. Folks, that's where the sting hits. Charles Wesley said of his people that they die differently. And that's true. Saved people die differently than what the unsaved die. Folks, listen. Once it is appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. But I will tell you, there is something wonderful about a Christian dying and going to heaven. And when that family gathers around and looks into the face of their loved one, they realize that their loved one is now walking on streets of gold, and they are now living in a land where they'll never grow old, and they are living in a place where sin and sorrow and suffering will never reach. They are in a place where there is no cancer, and there's no heart disease, and there's no diabetes, and there's no suffering, and there's no pain, and there's no heartache, and there's no despair, and there's no disease, and they're in a place where there is no night. It's just eternal day where they are. Thank God for that. You know, if you don't feel well and it starts to get nighttime, your feel bad feels worse. You know what I mean? Nobody likes to see the sun set when you're sick. Why is it you can go through the day and your throat feels fine? Gets nighttime and you can't even swallow. You wake up the next morning and your throat is raw, but then as the day goes on, seems to go away. And then the sun sets and boom, you're back again. And it's folks, all of that is the effect of sin in our world. Oh, it's impacted everything. Impacted everything. All right? Let me tell you this little illustration. Through the years, every little boy gets stung. Well, I got stung many, many times. I haven't been stung in a long time, and I'm thankful for that. I don't like getting stung. There's this nut on the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or whatever, and he takes bees and stings himself. Why would you do that? He doesn't have good sense. I mean, how could you do that? He'll go get one of these hornets, take a pair of tweezers, and sting himself on the arm with it, and then writhe in anguish and pain and screaming and carrying on. And I just, every time I see it, well, dummy, you just let the thing sting you. And, oh, I can't stand it. Well, don't do it then. People are crazy. You know that? Well, every time that I was ever stung by a bee, my mom would get the tweezers and make sure that the stinger was out. You remember that? She'd make you go put your hand, if it was on the hand or your leg or wherever they got you, and she'd go over and bend the shade on the lamp so that it would shine down on you, and she would say, let me see if I can find the stinger. And then she'd take her finger, and oh, there it is right there. And then she'd take those tweezers and pull it out. Oh, she was good. She was so good at it. And then here's what she would do. Of course, you know, I'm a little guy. I'm bawling my eyes out. And she would go and get the baking soda. And it would depend on, you know, if I was really, you know, crying it out. She would take her finger And she would go like this and put that baking soda in the palm of her hand. And she would take her finger and rub it underneath my eye and get my own tears. And she would put that down in there, and then she would daub that on my bee sting. Now, I don't know if that made it feel any better. But I know that it made me feel better that Mom did that. I'll guarantee you it did. I mean, she removed the sting of death that was in my hand. She'd remove it. She made it feel better. And my friend, that's exactly what the Lord does when a saved person goes to glory. Second thing, quickly, got to hurry, the victory of faith. Look at what it says here. O grave, where is thy victory? That's the next question. Look at the answer. He says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the what?
Victory.
Where's the victory? Hey, grave, where's the victory? God says, wait a minute. The victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grave didn't win anything. Jesus won it. You see, when I got saved, that guarantees that when the sting of death comes upon me, I'm going to heaven. I've had so many great men of God and saints of God, many in this church right here, who just before they passed would say to me, now, Pastor, I don't want you to make this funeral about me. I want you to make this funeral about the Lord. I'm going to be all right. And I would say, yeah, I know that. I'm going to be all right. I remember Don Goodwin. Don't make this about me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember George Real. Don't make this about me. All right. I remember Jim Real. Don't make this about me. Dozens have said that to me. Why? Well, because they got victory when they passed. They're with the Lord. Think about that, folks. We all gather at the funeral home and we are weeping and we are heartbroken, and then we get in our cars and we drive to the cemetery and we say some last words there and we are comforted by our friends, and then we get in the car and leave, and it would appear that death has conquered us and that the grave has won. But no. No. What'd Paul say? To be absent in the body and to be what?
Present
with the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
That's victory, folks.
Amen.
So cheer up.
Amen.
You say, but Pastor, I don't want to die. That's why you fight death. That's why we don't quit. When someone quits, you know that they're ready to go. That's true. When they quit, they're ready to go. And as long as there's a fight in them, you got something to smile about, because they're not giving up. You see, folks, with death, we may lose the battle, but we certainly don't lose the war. All right? We don't lose the war. So here's these two questions. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, the sting of death is sin. Well, why is that? Well, because it wasn't in the plan. It just was not in the plan. Folks, think about this. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the garden, they'd still be alive today. right? But the wages of sin is? Exactly. So that's why we die. That's why we die. But the Lord Jesus gives us victory over the sting of death, and he gives us victory over the grave. Picture it, folks. Picture it. A believer passes. We take them to the cemetery. We lower their bodies into the ground. But what we don't see with our eyes is the truth that they are not there. They're there. We can't see. You see, we got this veil over our eyes right now. But by faith, we know where they are. I've got a grandfather, two of them in heaven. I've got two grandmothers in heaven. I've got a mother in heaven. I've got an uncle that I just loved in heaven. And I know he's in heaven because I led him to the Lord. My friend, we need to make sure that our loved ones are saved as well. So my question is, do you have that victory tonight? Man, I sure hope you do. I hope you do. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's bow our heads. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that that victory is yours. You say, Pastor, I just don't know. If I should happen to die right now, I just don't know for sure that I would be in heaven. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody like that tonight? Pastor, I'm just not sure. Pray for me. Anybody? All right. Father, we thank you now for our time together tonight. And thank you for these verses that show us that we have nothing to fear if we know Christ is our Savior. Death could not stop you. It could not keep you in the grave, and it's not going to stop us either. And Father, we're thankful that one of these days that trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ will be raised. And Father, we will all be reunited in heaven, all the redeemed, standing around the throne of God, shouting, "Worthy is the Lamb." So, Father, I pray you'll help us to realize that the Bible has the answers for every problem that man has. The Bible has the answers. And help us to understand this answer that Paul gave to the Corinthian church. I'm sure that there were folks there who wondered what folks today wonder. What happens when someone dies? Well, it's good to know that to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. So, Father, bless this to our hearts tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.